the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, you're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Earlier this week, the Biden administration announced its plans to let the coronavirus public health emergency expire in May. Now, during that announcement on Monday, the White House said it's a sign that federal officials believe the pandemic has moved into a new, less dire phase. Now, as you might imagine, this move carries both symbolic weight and real-world consequences. So joining us today to break this down is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Dr. Pate, always good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
So, Dr. Pate, I want to start with the fact that according to federal data, more than 500 people are still dying every single day here in the United States from COVID-19. To put that into perspective for folks, that is twice the number of deaths per day when we have a really bad flu season. So with that said, Dr. Pate, in your opinion, is this declaration coming too soon?
Well, yes, in my mind. However, I have to admit I was not surprised. The Biden administration has been making these kind of comments about, you know, we're entering into a new phase several times. And of course, we didn't. We ended up having, more bouts of infections, waves, and so forth. So, it's not surprising. I think that, their general mindset to try to get, off of COVID and onto other things, plus the threats from a certain faction in Congress to take legislative action to end the public health emergency declaration immediately, which would certainly throw the system into chaos. I think all of that just kind of provided the Biden administration with the opportunity to say, okay, we're just going to plan to end it in May. I think that people should not draw the conclusion that anything else is different in terms of, I can just hear some of the people now saying, okay, this means it's now endemic, or this means that we don't have to worry about it. And those things are not true.
So I do want to go back to what's going on in Congress right now. But before that, let's talk about why the Biden administration made this announcement on Monday. Yes, it was in response to Congress wanting to end the emergency declaration right now. What the White House said, though, is that if we did that, it would really basically send our healthcare system into chaos. And they were saying that, our healthcare system needs time to make a smooth transition. Because, for example, during the pandemic, people had access to free COVID tests, to treatments, to vaccines. But Dr. Pate, when this ends, that may not be the case.
Well, that's true. And in fact, for most people who are not on a government program, that is not on Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, those kind of things, this is now going to be an issue of the vaccines and the treatments and tests will now all be commercialized. In fact, Pfizer has already come out and said, right now the government buys the Pfizer vaccine for about $30 a dose. They've already said that once the public health emergency is over, the price is going to be between $110 and $130. They have not said what the price for Paxlovid is going to be, but right now the government buys, in bulk with a pre-order, so they're getting all the discounts. They pay $530 for a course of Paxlovid. If you think about the fact that Pfizer intends to basically quadruple the price of the vaccines, imagine what they're going to do with Paxlovid. Even if they just quadrupled it, it means a course of it's going to run at least around $2,000. But with the vaccines, at least there's a competitive offering. But with Paxlovid, we don't really have anything that is really comparable to it. Molnupiravir is another antiviral, but it is far inferior for a number of reasons. So this is going to be a real big issue. Now, it's going to hit those that are uninsured the hardest, because at least if you're insured and if it's a plan that is covered by the Affordable Care Act, which most plans are, there are some that are not, then that law requires that the vaccines be offered without cost sharing. So if you're insured by an ACA plan, you're going to still have access to the vaccines at no cost. That's not true for treatment and tests. The insurance plans, even under the ACA, can charge you co-pays, and you still have to meet deductibles and so forth for treatments and tests. The uninsured are going to be really in a pickle. And, you know, I think we haven't learned our lesson yet that if we really want to control the community spread of a contagious disease, we have to make vaccines and treatments and tests available to everyone.
Well, and I think that that's part of it, right, Dr. Pape, is that I think that we're going into year three of this pandemic. And so tests, you know, everything you could just go get for free come May 11th, that will not be the case. So even if you have insurance, as you said, all right, the vaccine is covered, but let's say you want to just go get tested. Well, all of a sudden you may have your $20 or $30 copay. And as you mentioned with Paxlovid, we don't know what that could be even with insurance. And I am curious as to, of course, how that will impact the average individual, right? But beyond that, the transition that the healthcare industry will need to be making during the next 3 months.
Yeah, it's, you know, for the average individual, you know, one would imagine, if you think about insurance design, the whole reason that there are deductibles and there are co-pays and co-insurance is to discourage use, you know, to make you think twice before incurring a medical expense that the insurance company is going to be on the hook for. And by putting you partially on the hook, they're trying to rein in that use. You know, that now the fact that we didn't even have good use of some of these measures when they were free, one has to imagine that it's only going to get worse when now there is an added cost sharing part. You know, for healthcare providers, as you mentioned, Gemma, this also is going to have an impact. Some of the measures that had helped healthcare systems control this disease, manage the number of patients in their hospitals and so forth, some of those things are going away. And most hospitals across the country are already financially stressed. So this is going to add to that stress. And then additionally, that doesn't even begin to touch on the issue of what's going to happen at the state level. And I think you're going to have this discussion next. But when the public health emergency declaration ends, now states have to reevaluate all the roles of their Medicaid program. And we do expect quite a lot of people to lose Medicaid coverage. And that will similarly hurt hospitals, because now those will basically be uninsured patients, and they'll get sicker because they can't get the tests, treatments, and vaccines and so forth. And it's just, it's not going to be good for the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the Congress and what's going on in Congress right now. So earlier this week, there were bills introduced that, as you said, would end the emergency immediately. The Biden administration says, all right, we're going to end it, but we're going to end it in May. And one of the arguments that the White House made was that the only reason that we can end this health emergency in May is because of federal COVID policies that mandated the free test, the free vaccines, the free treatment. And that's why the pandemic is under better control right now. And they looked at federal data, which said that COVID, if folks don't realize this, COVID was the third leading cause of death in the United States from 2020 all the way through the midpoint of 2022. So this was not something, excuse me, that was just a minor inconvenience. So with all of that said, Dr. Pate, is it irresponsible of Congress to say, let's just get rid of everything right now? I mean, or, you know, let's work through this and come May 11th, we'll, you know, it's whether you like it or not, it's done.
Well, the two bills that you were referring to that some in the Republican Party proposed that would end declarations immediately, those are very irresponsible. And frankly, one hopes, but is probably less sure these days, that the rest of Congress wouldn't go along with that. And so one can question whether those bills really would pass. And of course, even if they did, the president would have the opportunity to veto them. And that's why, even though the administration does say that you know, that is part of why they're making this decision, my guess is that, and I don't know, I don't have any specific insider information, but my guess is that the Biden administration knows this has to end at some time. They're taking the advantage of this as, okay, this is why we're doing it. And, you know, it kind of pushes the blame onto the Republicans. But we should not be misled here. When the Biden administration says we're in a new phase, this is not going to be a problem anymore, they don't know that. And any responsible expert in this area will tell you, we don't know what's coming. We certainly hope that's the case. And that is a plausible scenario that maybe this will not continue to be such a big problem. But it is now. You already mentioned the number of deaths happening every day, Gemma, and we don't know what's happening with these variants. Here today, we have a record number of new variants, and we don't really understand what's going to happen. And as you and I have talked about before, all it takes is for a significant recombination event, particularly in somebody who's chronically infected, perhaps with Delta and one of these new things, and we could have a completely different ballgame again. And so I think they are, I think that's a political statement and not a scientific statement.
Very quickly, before I let you go, Dr. Pate, we mentioned last week these meetings with the FDA and in regards to vaccines. Will we just have one vaccine yearly? What will that look like? What did we learn from that meeting?
Well, not a lot, but we certainly are getting a pretty good sense of where things are going. The main thing that the FDA wanted to do and the committee of independent advisors endorsed is simplifying the vaccination scheme. And let's say I'm in favor of that. It's very complicated. The way they want to do that is by saying that, you know, we're going to do away with those, you know, primary shots series or the monovalents and the boosters or bivalent and all. We're just going to one shot. That one shot can be used for your primary series if you haven't yet been vaccinated. It can be used for your boosters, and that they're going to require everybody to use the same formulation. I'm not sure about what that really means when you get to some details. For example, can you have the same mix of strains but different doses, like happens with Pfizer and Moderna? So there's details I don't know yet, but they want to go to where basically the shots are interchangeable and you don't have to think, well, I got Pfizer, so I need to get Pfizer, or I got Moderna, so I need to get, you can just use whatever you want and there will only be basically one type of shot. That what they didn't decide is the schedule for that, but they kind of did, because what the FDA said is they're going to reconvene in May to pick a formulation for the fall. Well, if you think back, if my memory serves me, our bivalent booster came out in September. Now they're talking about a recommendation for next fall. So basically, they're going to an annual schedule. That is a little problematic given that what we know about immunity waning, but basically they want to simplify it. They're hoping that more people will get boosted and vaccinated by making it simpler. We'll see.
As always, Dr. Pate, so appreciate your time and your perspective.
My pleasure.
Thanks, as always, to Dr. David Pate. Remember, if you have any questions in regards to public health, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.